Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Joining us for our sixth and final installment of our series, Answering the ISIS Propagandists in Our Midst, Mulana Yusuf Patel of Middleburg. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and to the listeners of Radio Islam.
Mulana, we're answering the final segment, and in this part, when we ask the question, where to from here, we're going to start with the question, why is it important to ensure consistent engagement and participation with our government? As citizens here in South Africa, there's often an allegation that we seem to have become very, very, very complacent. We're in cahoots with our government. We're not fighting for our own Muslims. So from the Sunnah, how do we qualify this?
The question is, come again, sorry.
The question is, why is it important for us to ensure consistent engagement and participation with our government here in South Africa?
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I think perhaps it's appropriate to begin with a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave certain advices to the Sahaba just prior to his demise. One of the advices that he tendered or gave to the Sahaba was, and I quote, "And show courtesy and politeness to the emissaries and delegations just as I had done." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was advising the Sahaba that when these non-Muslim delegations come to Medina, ensure that you are courteous and you are polite when engaging with us, with them. Now, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed such courtesy, such kindness, such hospitality to non-Muslim delegations that came to him, especially so when he was in the position of power, how much more important will it be for Muslims who are not in power to actively engage with non-Muslims on the basis of dignity, courtesy, and respect for the primary benefit of our communities and the oppressed at large? There's a verse in the Quran which says that لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ, that Allah does not forbid you from those who do not fight you in the religion and do not drive you out of your homes, that you deal kindly and justly with them. Indeed, Allah loves those who act justly. So from both these verses, the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from this verse of the Quran, we are advised to look at our engagement with the non-Muslimin, especially in a minority situation, to engage and ensure that we protect the interests of our community. Now, one particular example of this engagement was when the government intended to enact the anti-terror bill several years ago, which was originally a very draconian piece of legislation. And at that point, we decided that there was a need to engage the various role players in government. And I think it was a matter of perhaps 4 weeks or 6 weeks where we had met with the Minister of Intelligence, Minister of Safety and Security, Minister of Justice, Minister of Defense, and to meet ministers in such a short span of time was remarkable indeed. And alhamdulillah, it was precisely through our interaction and through our engagement with the various role players in this country, with the various organs of government, that this country has been spared the draconian legislation anti-terror legislation found in many other countries around the globe. So the United Ulama Council of South Africa became involved, actively engaged and ensured that, the draconian legislation that would have taken us back to the dark days of apartheid was sufficiently watered down, and the current statute, the current law regarding anti-terror legislation reflects a substantial input from the United Ulama Council of South Africa. So that's just one instance to show how engagement with different organs of the state has protected not only Muslims, but all citizens of our country.
Often enough, a question comes about to say that we act as if the government is protecting our Islam when it's actually Allah who's protecting our Islam. I know it's a simplistic argument, but how would we respond to that, Mulana?
Well, I think that's a very simplistic view to say that it's not the government that protects us, it is Allah that protects us. There is absolutely no doubt that our protector is none other than Allah. But we live in a world of cause and effect. And just as we accept that our provider, our sustainer, is none other than Allah, yet that belief does not inhibit prohibit us from going out daily to seek our bread, knowing full well that Allah is a provider and our sustenance is destined. Despite that, we are encouraged by the Quran, go out and seek and look for your sustenance. Now, in the same manner, everything, our entire destiny is in the hands of Allah. But we are placed on this earth, and the Quran has cautioned us over and over again that, take precautionary measures to protect yourself. Don't, walk and deliberately lead yourself to danger. So whilst we accept that Allah is the protector and the final legislator, we accept that our destiny unfolds according to the decree of Allah, yet as human beings we are asked to employ the necessary means to protect ourselves.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, the final part of this question today is, what's the way forward for those taken by ISIS propaganda in South Africa? How do we who do not support ISIS avoid alienating them further?
Well, due to the extensive coverage of the movement, most youth worldwide had acquired a profound curiosity regarding its authenticity and its impact upon the world in which we exist. Now, it is common knowledge that ISIS had attracted a great number of our youth worldwide. And one may wonder about the reasons, why would young men and women join an organization? How does this organization appeal to them? What kind of environment do they come from? Or what kind of environment would they leave in preference joining the jihad or making hijrah? Now, it is against this background, in this context, that firstly, we must guard against going on an emotional binge or falling victim to addressing the entire question of ISIS by referring to various conspiracy theories. It's not helpful at all. It doesn't resonate well with the youth. And the ulama in particular need to provide an academic discourse on the very many vexing issues pertaining to issues like jihad, hijrah, slavery, etc. This has to be communicated at various levels, more particularly to the youth at our schools and universities, who need to be engaged, and I stress this, who need to be engaged in a manner and in a language that resonates with them. So I think the first thing we need to accept that knowledge is our weapon, and without knowledge we become vulnerable. Secondly, I think, is we need to look at a type of house, you know, the environment within the house, parenting within the house. Good parenting strengthens the bond between the parent and the child. This might seem like, you know, common sense, but unfortunately it isn't so. There was an age where if our parents told us what to do, it would suffice. And the catchword is what to do. And children would rarely ever question the what. But we've moved from that age. We live in a very different world today, where children are not would not be satisfied with what. They need to know why they should be doing what they have to do. And I think it's important, vitally important, that parents, you know, introspect and ask themselves if they are creating a home environment conducive to, you know, allowing children to engage with them, ask questions. They may be awkward questions, they may be difficult questions, but just simply saying yes and no is no longer enough for children. I think the third thing is that, you know, when we look at the meeting between Khidr and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Musa alayhi salam asked Khidr that I want to accompany you, please teach me. And I think Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam's answer is very relevant today. His answer was, okay, and how can you have patience about things which your understanding is not complete? Things beyond your comprehension. Now, as parents, we must take it upon ourselves to ensure that our children adequately comprehend you know, the war generally in the Middle East, and particularly in Syria and Iraq. If we are not going to expose them, give them the kind of knowledge and understanding, we should not expect them to identify with our values and our approach to this particular matter. So it's not only crucial that parents know, that parents deal adequately with their children. The parents also need to know who their children's friends are and where they are spending their free time. What amount of time do they engage on social media? Who do they liaise with? How do they interact? Where are they deriving their inspiration, motivation, and cue from? Children today, everyone has access to the internet. Everyone has access to the social media. We can't deprive our children realistically, but we can control this, we can regulate it, we can educate them so they are empowered enough to make responsible decisions.
JazakAllah, Maulana. You're so sound advice as usual, and thank you for being part of this series and your time.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.